In other words, in this example I'm giving here, I'm not only in Denver, but I'm in San Francisco, I'm in Portland, I'm in Dallas. I'm all over the place with all of my capabilities. Mm. So you're not going shorthanded, bud. You got it all working for you.
Praise the Lord.
You got the Most High God on your team. And what more could you ask? He can be the captain of your team if you let him be.
Yes. Well, to go on with this scripture in Psalm 8:4, that man is just a little bit lower than God, we go to Hebrews 2. You know, this isn't just Old Testament. This is also Greek. This is in Hebrews 2. And it talks about the angels in Hebrews 1, about aren't they all ministering servants? And I know you love that scripture. They're ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who inherit salvation. But in chapter 2, right before verse 5, I have a heading in my Bible that says, Earth Subject to Man. And here in these verses, he quotes Psalm 8. And the author of Hebrews says, For he did not subject to angels the world to come, concerning which we are speaking. But one has testified somewhere, and he didn't realize that it's Psalm 8 that we were just reading, What is man that thou rememberest him? Or the son of man that thou art concerned about him? Thou hast made him for a little while lower. Now here it says in the angels in the New American Standard, but we notice here that it's Elohim in the literal. For thou hast crowned him with glory and honor, and hast appointed him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in subjecting all things to him, he, God, left nothing that is not subjected to him. That means, Darren, he put everything in he put man in authority over everything on this earth.
That's right.
Everything.
Well, you can also say it another way, and some writers do.
Yes,
say,
please we are
lords of the earth.
That's right, yes.
And it doesn't mean that we're trying to say we're co-equal with God and, you know, all this kind of stuff. Now, we may be joined heirs with Jesus Christ, but I don't believe for a minute that we're co with God. We're not on his level. Mm-hmm. But we are made in his image and likeness, and we're to operate in this earth realm. As long as we have this earth body, we're to operate here. And when it talks about the angels are subject to us, and that's a great statement of favor on our lives, so we can say to a spirit, which in my opinion would be an angel, I'm sending a spirit of salvation to someone in my family that's not saved. Or I've got a child that just doesn't want to cooperate, so I'm sending a spirit of cooperation to that child. Mm-hmm. Or maybe it's somebody you work with, or maybe it's your boss. You say, I just bless them with a spirit of cooperation. Mm-hmm. Barbara, I cannot tell you how many times, it'll be up there in hundreds of times, I've shared that with people, and they've gotten back to me and said, you know, that miserable boss of mine is starting to be cooperative.
Praise God.
And it's because they stood in their dominion authority, they executed a word, and they said, I just loose a spirit of, and you loose what you want to happen. And God's listening to your words, by the way, mm-hmm. and he wants to fulfill what you're doing on earth, because he's there to be a helper.
Yes.
Not a hindrance, but a helper.
Yes, that's right. Now, in some translations, Darren, we see the word grace instead of favor. And I believe in the King James Version, you'll find grace. But I really love the word favor. And favor, there are 8 different meanings for favor in the Word of God. There's 8 different numbers in the Strong's Concordance and 8 different renderings of favor. Now, in the first one, we see that it is number 2580. And the word is C-H-E-N, but it's pronounced Cain. And we find that in Deuteronomy 24, when a wife finds no favor with a husband, but we're not going to talk about that today. This word favor, Cain, in the Hebrew, means to bend in kindness to one inferior. Now, we find this in Genesis 18:3, when Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked and beheld 3 men standing opposite him. And Abraham said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in your sight, please do not pass your servant by. Now, this word favor means to bend in kindness to one inferior. So God was coming and bending down in mercy before Abraham to show kindness and show mercy and to move to action through a request. Now, Abraham and Sarah did not have children, and God was moved to action here by opening her womb in old age and giving him live sperm or something, because he was dead, his body was dead, and producing a child for them.
in, wow, in their old age.
Yes, what a great word for favor
here.
Yeah,
but now I have to say something here. I'm going to jump forward to Hebrews 11, verse 11. A new insight, new revelation for me, but you know, Sarah judged God as capable and judged God as faithful to his word.
Yes.
One reason that you can do that is because of the faithfulness of God and because of his grace, favor, and mercy.
Oh, praise
and
God.
So when we say, God, I know you can keep your word. I know that you can put favor on my life. I know you can give me the breaks. Now, I've had people say things like this, or really, you know, well, I don't want a raise unless everybody else gets one. And in fact, I had a farmer one time. I was speaking in western Kansas, and I said, you know, God can just bless your crops. And this fellow came up afterwards. He said, man, I don't want to be blessed unless all my neighbors are blessed. Well, maybe all your neighbors aren't believers. Maybe they're cursing God.
Mm-hmm.
Why should they be blessed if they're, you know, blasphemers and cursing God?
Mm-hmm.
We need to realize that we have a very special place in God's creation. And when God brings those blessings, we shouldn't wimp out about it. We ought to be bragging on our God and how good he's been to us.
Really, we should be, Darren. And these people that we're going to be talking about in the Old Testament, they did. They talked about God, and they showed God in action in their lives and in their lifestyles. And one of them was Abraham.
Well, doesn't it say in one portion of Scripture that we're going to be so blessed that even the Jews will be jealous of us?
Oh, yes.
Well,
yes,
now, why should we wimp out? I mean, really, it's a slap in God's face when someone is jealous of your blessing or your promotion or whatever that God has brought to you. We need to stand in there and take the heat for those blessings.
Mm-hmm,
now, that
really
sounds kind of crazy, but I believe that.
Yes. Well, this word Cain, number 2580, a word for favor, is also used in Exodus 3:21. And this is such a great chapter in Exodus because God reveals himself to Moses as I am that I am. And Abraham was one man that was God's favorite. Also Moses, he was a friend of God. He actually saw the back of God on the mountain when God wrote the Ten Commandments for Moses and the people. But here in Exodus 3:21, we see that the word favor is used. And it says, God said, I will grant this people favor, that's 2580, in the sight of the Egyptians. And it will be that when you go, you will not go empty-handed. Remember, when they left, God had killed all the firstborn. And when they left, they had absolutely absconded with everything the Egyptians had, all the gold, all their jewelry. Somehow they had gotten such favor, they were given it to them just to leave. And here, every woman shall ask of her neighbor and the woman who lives in her house articles of silver and articles of gold and clothing, and you will put them on your sons and daughters, and you will plunder the Egyptians. This was physical favor, Darren, that these people found with an enemy that had kept them captive for 430 years.
You know, it was also payoff because they'd been slaves to the Egyptians.
Yes.
And really what the Hebrews were doing was saying, give me your good stuff. And they were handing it over
because by then they had gone through so many plagues. They were really very sick and tired probably of these people. They wanted them out of their lives.
Okay, now let's just say that we have a situation where you're working for a corporation or you're working for a company, and why wouldn't we look at God as being the one that's going to give us favor? Instead of looking at the boss or the company and saying, now they're going to give me benefits, they're going to give me a promotion, they're going to make it easy for me, they're going to give me recognition. Why can't our recognition come from the God of favor, the God of grace? And another word for favor and grace is really enablement. Enablement. He allows us to do things we couldn't do on our ordinary selves.
Why is it that man wants so much recognition from man? Why is that just a basic fleshly desire that man is born with? Because so many times I even notice Christian men, they want recognition from their brothers. They somehow want a pat on the back, or they want them to recognize them for something.
Or they want a new paperweight on their desk or a new,
yes,
new thing on the wall. Barbara, I believe in part it's because we have, because of sin, a feeling of inferiority. And we want to be built up by those that are around us. We want them to just make us feel important. They want them to add to our value. Because a person that doesn't feel good about themselves feel valueless or of lesser value.
Mm-hmm.
And so we look to others to build me up, man. Tell me how great I am. Lay it on me.